chapter 14 this morning, John chapter 14. We're studying through this book together, and we've come to one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most precious portions of Scripture in the entire Word of God for God's people, for God's children. It's been a blessing studying this. It's been a blessing to my heart, a challenge to my heart, and a comfort to my heart to study these verses. I may get through this morning, or I may conclude it tonight. We'll just see how the Lord leads in this. I do have another message prepared for tonight, just in case, but we'll just see how far we get. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the opening phrase of this chapter. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the phrase, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. I preach to you on this subject. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the privilege to preach. Thank you for the privilege to pray. Thank you for the privilege to be called your child today. And I pray that you help us to be faithful to your word. Help me not to add to it or take away from it, but just simply preach what you've already said. We realize that our authority is you and your word. You need no help from human beings. And I pray that you'll help us now to approach these verses soberly. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to approach them very seriously, Lord. And may you challenge and comfort our hearts. And we give this service to you. Thank you for allowing us to be here in Jesus' name. Amen. In my opinion, we're considering one of the most precious passages for God's children found in the entire Word of God. These verses that I've read to you have brought comfort to people down through the years. And as we study these verses, we see just how comforting and precious these verses really are. Get this now, here's the key thought, for those who believe. After Judas Iscariot left the room that night, and I remind you, in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, which were just now beginning, so to speak here, in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all of these chapters take place the night before the Lord was crucified. Every one of them. So what he's speaking, he's less than 24 hours away from his crucifixion. And as we approach John chapter 14, let me just, by means of introduction, bring you up to date with what's going on. Judas Iscariot has now left the room. He is on his way to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord begins and continues to speak to those remaining disciples that were in that room. Leading up to these verses in chapter 13, we see the Lord Jesus has been giving some news to these men that no doubt was very troubling. As a matter of fact, if you go back and look at it, you don't have to, but I would encourage you to read chapter 13 in preparation for these opening verses in chapter 14, because when we come to this opening thought, let not your heart be troubled, you need to understand why he's making that statement. Because when you go back to chapter 13 and you consider what's going on, he's been making some troubling statements. He's been saying some things that no doubt turned their world upside down and rocked their world from side to side. As a matter of fact, he says in chapter 13 that one of them was going to betray him, and they didn't know which one that was. He told them in chapter 13 that he was getting ready to leave them, and he was going somewhere where they could not follow him at that time. Peter speaks up and tells the Lord, where are you going, Lord? I'll go anywhere with you, and I'll die for you, Lord. And that's when the Lord, when he ends chapter 13, he says, really, Peter? Because before the cock crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. He's just told them he's going to be betrayed by one of them. He's just told them when the other 11 who loved him and wanted to be with him, he just told them, you're not going to have me much longer. I'm getting ready to leave you. And I'm getting ready to go to a place where you cannot follow me. And he's just told one of his disciples who was very self-confident, when you think that you love me the way you think you love me and that you'd go anywhere with me, you're going to deny me three times that you even know me before the cock crows in the morning. When all of that was said to them, there is no doubt in my mind that they were troubled in that room that night. There's no doubt in my mind that those that were left after Judas Iscariot had gone, and the Lord turns in his compassion and says, I'm getting ready to leave you, men. I'm getting ready to leave you behind. You're going to feel like you're lonely. And Peter, you're going to deny me. No doubt, it's starting to bless my heart right here. No doubt their heart was troubled. No doubt their heart was agitated. That's what that word troubled means. It means to be stirred. It means to be agitated, to be aggravated, to be broken, so to speak. Don't let your heart be troubled. See, it was at this time, after he said all of that, and he knew that their hearts needed comforting, it was at this time that the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. I know you're getting ready to lose me here. And I know, Peter, you're getting ready to deny me. And I know one of you is going to betray me. And I know this is troubling news, but let me just say something to you in this room. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, we don't know where you're going, Lord. How do we know the way? And he looks at those dear men who's with troubled hearts and he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Spurgeon said he knew that his absence would greatly distress them, and therefore he poured forth a stream of consolations. How many thousands of tried believers have been comforted by these gracious words? All Scripture is as a garden of sweet flowers, but this passage may be compared to the rose for its marvelous beauty and its marvelous sweetness. By means of introduction, before I get to the outline, I want to give you the answer to a troubled heart. In the introduction. Then I'm going to give you how this flows through the rest of the message. God gives the answer to a troubled heart in these verses right here. The answer when your heart is breaking, you're troubled, you're fearful, you're afraid, you don't know which way to turn. The answer's found in these verses. See if you can get it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. It's one word. And it's the word believe. Believe. The answer to a troubled heart is to believe in God and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word believe here means to rest in Him. It means to trust Him. Oliver Green said they had walked and talked with Him. They believed Him to be their promised Messiah. But remember, they were believing on one who was in their midst. He was there where they could see Him. They could reach out and touch Him. One who had been their daily companion. But now this one was soon to be removed from the earth. He would soon be invisible insofar as the natural eyesight is concerned. So He's saying to them, here, you believe in God and He's invisible. You've never seen His form, yet you are conscious of His love. You're conscious of His mercy. You're conscious of His care. And even though you've never physically seen God, you've never touched God, you believe in Him. And in the same manner, you must have confidence and faith in me that after I'm crucified, for death cannot hold me, I will rise again. I will ascend back to my Father where I came. God is invisible, but you believe in Him.
him. Now in the same way, I will be invisible, but believe in me when these things will come to pass. This is the answer to a troubled heart. Trust in God the Father. Trust in God the Son. And that's the great safeguard against troubles and the all-sufficient support that he holds underneath his children. A man on the top of his house gave his small son permission to climb the ladder to the place where he was standing. The little boy started up the ladder, but when he was halfway up, he looked down to the ground and he became frightened and afraid, and he began to cry halfway up the ladder. The daddy said, "Son, don't look down. Look up at me and just keep on climbing." The boy looked up at his father, and the fear left him, and he climbed safely all the way to the top. And friends, this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying there's coming a time when me who you can see and I who you can feel, you're not going to see me in the room with you. You're not going to be able to reach out and touch me with your hands. But you believe in God. Believe also in me. He's saying, even though you can't see me, I am real. And even though you can't see me, keep your eyes upon me and keep believing what I told you I would do for you. Keep trusting, keep resting, keep believing. This is what the Lord is saying to these men. He's comforting and trying to calm their troubled hearts by pointing them to have faith in him, to keep their eyes on him. Even when he was gone from their midst, you believe in God. Believe also in me. In the remaining verses of this passage, he gives three major things that all center around him, because the key phrase is this: as they're troubled, as they're aggravated, as their heart is stirred and their world's upside down in that room. I mean, it feels like their heart is crushed inside that room. Somebody's going to betray him. He's getting ready to leave us. What are we going to do? What are we going to say? How are we going to make it? And Peter, he's going to deny him. In the middle of all of that, he says, "Believe in me." And then he gives three things about himself to encourage and comfort a troubled heart. If you are saved today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means there was a time when you believed on Him. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you were saved. And here's what He's saying: what you believe is true. What you believe is accurate. And even though you can't see me, you can't feel me, you just keep on believing. Because let me tell you three things that I'm going to give you about me, that if you just believe, it'll calm your troubled heart. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And I'm going to start with number one. What is the first thing about him that he gives to his children when they have a troubled heart? That if we just believe, when our heart is troubled, it'll help snap us out of a troubled heart and give us a heart that is very encouraged and comforted and peaceful. We live in a world, especially right now, that if we are not careful, you'll walk around in doom and gloom. You'll walk around, look at all this mess going on. I mean, how in the world are we going to make it? What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to my grandchildren? I mean, what's going to happen in the next election? By the way, the answer's not in Washington. Amen. Never has been, never will be. His name is Jesus Christ. That's the answer to this nation's problems. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you're just going to get down in doom and gloom, and your heart's going to be troubled all the time. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt there are many today with a troubled heart. Are you listening to me? If you don't need what I'm getting ready to give you, you will. Just hang on. There are many troubled hearts in here today. Is your heart troubled? Are you anxious? Has your heart been stirred? I mean, agitated, shaken? Has your world been turned upside down? Are you fearful and afraid?
Jesus gives things to help us during these times. Let me give you number one. This will be probably as far as I get. First of all, the first thing he gave them to believe. Now he's talking about believing in him. And if you believe in him, you must believe in these three things. You follow me where I'm going here, friends? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Say amen. I mean, you really believed in him. I mean, he's your God. He's your intercessor. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then here's what he gives you when your heart's troubled, to focus on these three things. You with me? Number one, believe and focus on the place he is preparing for you. We see this in verses 2 and 3. See, the first thing the Lord Jesus mentioned to his disciples to help their troubled hearts was that when he left them, he was going to prepare a place for them. He calls this place his Father's house, singular, with many mansions. D.L. Moody said, and I quote, "The thought of heaven has cheered the soul of many believers. Some say that we are fools to believe in heaven, but to deny heaven is to deny Jesus, for he came from heaven. It's to place our departed loved ones in a cold, dark grave. It's to deprive millions of Christians of the greatest hope they have. To deny heaven is equal to murder, for it kills hope, to thievery, for it robs joy, to slander, because it calls God a liar." Now, I want you to hold your place here, but I felt led just to read quite a bit of Scripture in the book of Revelation. I typically do not take a lot of time to read a lot of Scripture when I preach, but I just felt the Lord saying, "Jody, instead of you trying to do your best to describe this place, why not let me do it? I've already done it in the Word, so just let me read it, okay?" Look at Revelation chapter 21. Where is the place that Jesus has gone to prepare? Where is it? It's beyond the starry sky. You and I know it as a place called heaven, the New Jerusalem. By the way, aren't you glad Jesus is building that place? Aren't you glad King Jesus is the architect? He's the contractor. He's the one building it. My, what it must look like. Let this speak to your heart. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. I'm going to read a little bit of Scripture here. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city," Revelation 21, verse 2, "New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" By the way, let me pause here. God himself shall be with them. I mean, heaven is a place where God dwells. Verse 4, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Verse 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone." A jasper is a diamond, my friend. I mean, the city shines like a diamond. That's what it's talking about here. Clear as crystal. "And had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city,
and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square. It's like a perfect cube. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are all equal, approximately 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles high, a perfect square cube. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, diamond. The second, sapphire. It's been said that is clear blue. The third, a chalcedony. That's a yellowish green. The fourth, an emerald, a deep green. The fifth, a sardonyx. That's white with red layers. The sixth, a sardius, that's fiery red. The seventh, a chrysolite, that is golden yellow. The eighth, beryl, that is sea green. The ninth, a topaz, that's greenish yellow. The tenth, a chrysoprasus, that is golden green. The 11th, jacinth, that is violet. The 12th, an amethyst, that is purple. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent. Transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of all nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither what whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. By the way, Mr. Curley told me that one of these trees of life here, that he believed that that manner of fruit there was not vegetables, but Big Macs hanging on there. And yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they have no need of a candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And you say, Joe, do you really believe that that's a real place? Do you really believe that that is a real, true place? I mean, when it says Sardis, that's what it means. And when it says Chalcedony, that's what it means. Are you telling me that you believe that there's a perfect square cube city that has a street of gold wrapping through it that you can look through because it's transparent, pure gold that shines like a diamond that has God living in it? You really believe that? Look right up here, please. I'm happy to announce, yes, I really believe that. Because that's what Jesus told his disciples. When I leave, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that place, we just read about it. And he says here in verse number 5, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. May I say this to you? If you don't believe it, I feel sorry for you. And if you don't believe it, I'm sorry, it's still true whether you believe it or not. Aren't you glad that heaven is a reality today? Aren't you glad this is not the end of it all? Where would we be if death ended it all? Where would we be if our saved loved ones are just rotten in the grave and there's no afterlife? May I say this to you? Down in the depths of the heart of a child of God, there's a tug that says, it's real. It's real. It's real. I remember the story when Curtis Hudson was passing away. I think it was his son Tony that told this story. I may have some of the details off, but anyway, you'll get the basic gist. He was dying of cancer. They say his body was so dehydrated that when you pinched his skin just stayed in that position. He was just so dehydrated. Said he could barely talk, and apparently he was trying to say something. I believe it was Tony that told the story. That he said, I knelt down and I listened as he said, it's real. It's real. I've been down by the riverside And God, let me see the other side. It's real. See, may I say this to you? The devil tries to suck that out of you, doesn't he? He tries to suck it out and tries to make you think this is all a fairy tale. This is all a fable. That preacher's been lying to you. Let me say something to you. Listen to Jesus Christ. I'm getting ready to leave you, man. You're getting ready to deny me, and one of them is getting ready to betray me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Where am I going? I go to prepare a place for you. And this place can comfort your troubled heart. Because down deep inside, we know heaven is real. It's like the little boy who was flying the kite on a cloudy day. He lost the kite behind the clouds. And he couldn't see the kite, but he held on to the string. But he knew that the kite was there, even though he couldn't see it, because the string was tugging. And he knew beyond the cloud, his kite was still attached. And friends, let me say this to you. I know every now and then this life will throw a curveball at you, and something will hit you, and it feels like you can't catch your breath. Feels like you can't breathe. How are you going to make it through this? How in the world are you going to get over this? How in the world do you have your troubled heart be comforted? Hear the words of the Son of God. I go to prepare a place for you. A place where God lives. A place of eternal beauty and peace. One man said heaven is called a country in Luke chapter 19, Hebrews chapter 11. That tells of its vastness, its size. It's called a city in Hebrews chapter 11 and Revelation chapter 21. This talks about the large number of its inhabitants. It's called a kingdom in 2 Peter chapter 1. This suggests its orderliness. It's called paradise in Luke 23 and Revelation chapter 2. This emphasizes its delights. It's called the Father's house here in our text. And this emphasizes its permanency. It's the Father's house, and nobody is going to take it from him. Nobody is going to claim it. Nobody is going to foreclose on the Father's house, friends. Considering the description of heaven in the Word of God, Harry Ironside said, somebody said heaven is the land of no more. When we read in Revelation 21, 22, he said, no more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow. He said, it's the land of no more. We have more in the Bible. Now get this. We have more in the Bible about what will not be in heaven than what will be there. Do you know that? Let me tell you one of the great things about heaven. What's not going to be there. Remember in the book of Revelation, we read that there'll be no more sin, no more tears, no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow, no more curse, no more darkness, no more distress, no more devil. Praise God for that, friends. Imagine a city where there's room for all, where there are no ghettos, no mean streets, no wrong side of town. Imagine a city of absolute beauty and sinless perfection. Because if you can imagine that, if you're saved, you can imagine home. Imagine, if you will, a city that gleams with the brilliance of God's glory. Imagine that pure light as it shines through the diamonds, the gold, and all the multicolored precious stones of that heavenly city. It'll be a glorious sight to behold. A little girl one day was walking with her daddy, and it was a beautiful night, cloudless night, stars out everywhere. And she was looking up at the stars intently. And that little girl said something that's simple but yet profound. She said, Daddy, those stars up there. She said, oh, Daddy. If the wrong side of heaven is that beautiful, what must the right side look like? And friends, I can't explain it to you. You ever stop to think about heaven? Have you? Are you like me? Your mind lets you go so far and then it's just like, phew! Let me tell you why. Because in our flesh, we cannot comprehend what is waiting for the child of God. Let me tell you what that'll do. Key thought, when you believe it. You believe in God. Believe, 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 believe. What's the cure for a troubled heart? Believe in God. Believe also in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to believe about it? He tells you, number one, that he's going to prepare a place for you. And when you believe that heaven is a real place and Jesus is working on it for you, it helps encourage your heart when your heart is troubled. Reminded the story of a widely respected man. He was known as Uncle Johnson. Uncle Johnson. He died in Michigan at the young age of 120. 120. Perhaps his advanced years could be credited in part to the cheerful outlook that characterized his life. One day while at work in his garden, he was outside and he was singing songs of praise to God. And his pastor, his preacher, came by and looked over the fence and saw him and saw he had a good smile on his face. And he said, Uncle Johnson, he said, you seem very happy today. He said, yes, sir, I was just thinking. And his pastor said, "What? Thinking about what? He said, oh, I was just thinking that if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table in this world are so good, what will the great loaf in glory be like? I tell you, sir, he said, there'll be enough for everyone and some to spare up there. One of the three things in these verses, the first one of the three things in these verses that he says, believe in God, believe also in me. And let me give you three things to believe. There's a place that I'm preparing for you. The first thing that he gives to their troubled heart is the reality that there's a real place beyond the grave. And friends, I'm going to tell you something that ought to encourage you today. That maybe doesn't pour cold water on the fire that's brewing in your heart. And it does not mean that all of your troubles will disappear. I'm not saying that. But while your heart is troubled, the Lord is speaking comfort. And hear his voice. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. I like to stop and pause and say, yes, yes, sir, I do. Believe also in me. I like to pause again and say, yes, sir, I do. And let me tell you what I'm going to do, boys. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I told you I'm leaving. Let me tell you where I'm going. I go to prepare a place for you. See, he knows in just a little while they're going to disperse from him. He knows in just a little while that they're going to see him die. And they're going to bury him. What was he telling them in that room? He was telling them, when you see me die and you watch me be buried, it's only just beginning. Because I must go this way. I must leave you so I can prepare a place for you. You got it? There's a little song. Often I'm hindered on my way, burdened so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache may here appall, but the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling and pain I will endure till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I am sure heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Have you have somebody that you dearly, dearly love? Dearly, dearly love. That has left this life and has gone by the way of the undertaker. Would you raise your hand? Yes, I have. You have. I was reminded this week, preacher, you did it for me, of my great-granddaddy, Brian Wheelock, Ma's dad. I don't call her grandma. She would kill me if I did that. That's Ma over there. Ma's daddy, Glad's daddy. I don't think I realized that he taught the Word of God for over 40 years. He taught here for many, many years. My mind is not good at all. That comes in handy at times, you know. But for some reason, it's graven in my mind, in my heart, the day he died. Remember, my dad was at the hospital. We were down at the homestead where Mom and Daddy lived now. He had had a heart attack. And Daddy called, and I don't know if he remembers this, but I answered the phone. I was just a little thing. Well, this size, but a lot younger. And I remember him saying something like, he didn't make it. I went up to our trailer, climbed up in my bunk bed, bawled like a baby. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad. I don't hope. I don't think. I know I'm going to see him again. And it's not going to be in this place, but in the place that King Jesus has gone to prepare. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that he's working on a building, and he's working on it for you and for me? Life can be hard. What a truth to comfort a troubled heart that Jesus is preparing a place. And in your heart, if you're saved, you know it's there, don't you? I'm looking forward to seeing the place that Jesus is preparing for me and for you. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for how you encourage their troubled hearts and for how you encourage ours. And I pray today, Lord, that if somebody's here that's never trusted Christ, may today be the day of salvation. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I wonder today, has there been a time in your life when you believed in God and you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you pictured by those disciples in that building, that room, that night? I'm talking about the ones that were left, not the betrayer, but the ones that were left in that room. They believed in God. And their world was getting ready to be torn apart. But the Son of God lifted his voice and spoke these piercing, comforting words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to stop there because that's as far as we got. Are you going to the place that he's preparing? If not, don't you want to? Wouldn't you love to go to the place that we just described in the book of Revelation? Wouldn't you love to go to a place that Jesus is building, he's preparing for those that believe in him? If you're here today and never trusted him, you've never believed on him, you are not a Christian, today's your day. Right now, God is speaking to you and saying, I want you in my place. I want you in my city. I want you in my country. I want you in this in my house. But you must believe. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you never have, you can today. Is there one say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I'm concerned I wouldn't go if I died like I am, but I want to. I want to go. I want to go to this place. And would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out, but I would like to pray for you. Is there somebody say, pray for me? I need to be saved. I know it. I want to be saved today. I want to trust Christ. Anybody like that at all? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. If you're saved today and know it, have you come into this auditorium with a troubled heart? Be honest. A troubled heart. Would you raise your hand? Your heart is troubled. Yes. That's a lot of you, a lot of you. And I hope this first part, be back tonight to hear part number two. You don't want to miss it. But I hope at least this morning that God is speaking to your heart about the place he's preparing. That doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing down here on this earth. But he's saying, look beyond this veil of tears and look at what's awaiting you. Look at what's on the other side. Let not your heart be troubled. Have you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. I needed this. I needed this today. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, boy, I needed this. God bless you. That's a lot of you. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to dismiss those who are being baptized right before we pray. Those who are following the Lord in believers' baptism, if you'll make your way and prepare, I'm going to pray. Brother Gary's going to take the invitation over as I prepare for baptism. Father, bless now. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you just want to come and say, God, thank you. Thank you for this message. You come now. Would you do it? Come now, please.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life for a seated. Let me give you a couple of announcements very quickly. We'll receive the offering, have our baptismal service. Tonight, we are having our fifth Sunday offering, and this is such a blessing when people, mainly folks in our church, have great financial needs. They're able to come to the pastor, and he's able to help them. Pray about what the Lord would have you to do there. Secondly, If you're a Sunday school teacher, remember we do have a Sunday school workers meeting Wednesday night, 6:30 in the chapel. On Thursday, our men are gathering to clean up the cemetery one final time. If you can help them, meet them there at the cemetery at 10 o'clock. If you need more information, see Mickey Archer. He can help you with that. Begin praying about the birthday offering for Jesus. That'll be taking up now in the month of December through maybe early February. All of that money, if you're new in our church, all of that money goes to mission causes. It doesn't stay here at all. And we'll have those causes listed for you next week in the bulletin. Finally, we do have a special day. Gift Sunday is this Sunday, coming Sunday, mainly for our children. Exciting time for them. And we'll be having our prayer breakfast leading up to that on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Make sure you're there for that. And then we'll be out knocking on doors, inviting folks to come. We do have a special card that has been made up for Gift Sunday and for the cantata. And if you'd like to take those, begin handing those out. And it lists both of those events on the back of the card. Also has the gospel there, just something you can hand out to invite folks to come on those special days. So those are our announcements rather quickly. You do have a bulletin. You can read the others that I've left out. Gentlemen, you come, and we'll receive the offering this morning.
Jared Elsey, his dad's up here. God bless you. And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you. This is Daryl Flannery. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. This is a special day. This is our oldest girl, and her brother was baptized on his mother's birthday, and today happens to be my birthday. So my baby girl is getting baptized on my birthday. It was a blessing earlier this morning to be able to baptize my little niece. I think she's here, Josie, in their church. About 9:30 this morning, and now I get to baptize my daughter the same day on my birthday. She's a beautiful little thing. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Rejoicing because the water is warm. I appreciate Brother Ben Gallion doing that. We're just about through here, and we'll let you go. Is this Malachi? Is that's how you pronounce it, right? Malachi, if you'll stand there, Brother Bob will stand with you. Last week in teen church, he responded to the gospel message. He's coming to let us know that he is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Is that true, Malachi? God bless you, young man. We're happy for you. How many of you are happy for him? Say a big amen.
Amen.
We're thrilled for you. It's the starting point. You go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do something for him, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Be back tonight as we continue with this thought on Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Brother Nick Lingerfelt, sir, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, please.
Father, Lord, we thank you.